So I know this is an exciting day, but can you forgive me if I start on a negative note? Because that's just the way my mind tends to work. I don't know if any of you smelt the smoke from the back burning last weekend that was happening, but when I smelt that smoke, I kind of was reminded of the terrible bushfire season that happened, although it feels a long time ago in many respects, at the beginning of 2020. And I remember in January in 2020, I was feeling really tired. And so I was taking a holiday. Like 2019 had been a really heavy year, and I just wanted to like recharge and relax. But it felt really hard to relax as I'm like driving up the coast and I'm passing like burnt tree after burnt tree. And I'm hearing all the news about what's happening in Victoria and New South Wales. This was a theme last week. Maybe I should just like not listen to the news as much. And then when I came back to Sydney, like the city was like blanketed in this smoke. And so I smelt the smoke last weekend, and it's a smell that's so familiar to us, isn't it? It's a smell that signals that, oh yes, summer and the threat of bushfires is upon us once again. I don't know how much you've been looking at news beyond COVID news, but in the middle of everything else that's going on at the moment, on the other side of the world, there have been terrible bushfires happening, once again breaking records in their ferociousness and their destructiveness. There's smoke billowing out for kilometers and kilometers, blanketing cities. In fact, there were these fires in Russia. Whose smoke spread for the first time in recorded history all the way to the North Pole. In some cities, you don't need bushfires. In some cities, they burn rubbish or they burn fuel to keep warm. And in some cities, there are industries that are unregulated, and so they just pour out whatever pollutants they want into the air. So that the idea of breathing in fresh, clean air is a distant memory for many people. In fact, some kids are breathing in air that is so bad that it's actually stunting their growth. And the World Health Organization estimates, and I find this estimation like kind of staggering, but the World Health Organization estimates 9 out of 10 people in the world are breathing in unsafe air. Like that's so high. 9 out of 10 are breathing in unsafe air. And sometimes you can tell when air is polluted. Sometimes maybe you can smell it, but other times it's not so obvious. And either way, it doesn't really matter because you need to breathe. And as soon as you breathe, your lungs are absorbing these tiny, dangerous pollutants, and it affects us. As we breathe in these tiny dangerous pollutants, as we breathe in this bad air, we know that in a sense, this is because of our own actions. Like the climate is changing because of our own actions. And so we live in this weird state where we know that maybe the way that we're living is actually harmful. But it's like we've become so familiar to it, so accustomed to breathing in smoke. We just adjust. Or maybe we think this is the price that we have to pay to continue to live the way that we want to live, that it's really hard to change. It's really hard to find the motivation to change unless there's like a disaster right in front of us, and then maybe we might change. But this slow effect that we might be having on the world, it can be really hard for us to know what to do. I think this is what Paul is talking about here in this next section in the letter that he's writing to the Galatians. Paul speaks about people having a sinful nature, or in some translations, it talks about the flesh, which I don't find a particularly helpful metaphor today because we tend to think Paul is talking about the body. And so we might think that Paul is saying the body is bad, and I don't think that's what Paul is saying at all. The flesh, I guess, is like a metaphor for the sinful nature. We might want to picture instead maybe like a smoke factory inside us, kind of chogging and cloaking and choking us so that our decisions are affected, so that we end up making decisions that are harmful. We end up choosing things that lead to death rather than things that lead to life. And this instinct that seems to be in us often comes from a really selfish place. These desires that we can have that can run counter to what God longs for the world are really harmful. And we can see all the effects around us. And so Paul begins by rattling off a list, and it's a list that should be quite familiar to us. So let me share with you this list again.
When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God.
We breathe this way of life in, we breathe it out. This is all around us. And I guess all these attitudes and desires that are listed here, I guess what makes them so wrong is that in the end, when we live this way, it actually ends up damaging communities. We end up damaging our relationships with others. It damages our relationship with God. And in fact, if you live this way, and if this is the only way you know, I think you're kind of stunted in a way. Your ability to love is stunted. This is something that is so familiar to us. We can see the effects all around us. And yet, in a way, we grow accustomed to this. We grow accustomed to this way of life. We grow accustomed to there being sometimes damage in relationships or damage in our relationship with God. And it can be hard to get motivated to change. We think, well, I don't even know. I can't even imagine another way. And I don't even know how I would change. And so we think, well, maybe this is the price we have to pay so we can do whatever we want, so we can live the way that we want. But part of the gospel, part of the good news that Paul is bringing is that there is a God, that the Spirit of God is active and at work in this world. And in fact, Paul wants to remind the Galatians, remember when I first came to you, when I was preaching to you about Jesus, when I was speaking to you about how Jesus died for your sins, you received the Spirit of God. Like something happened in that moment. The Spirit of God came into your lives, breathing new life into your old life. And that changes everything. This is God's gracious gift to you. I think what Paul is talking about is so extraordinary and so mysterious and so life-altering that I'm not sure if we fully grasp all that Paul is saying here. Paul says, live by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Instead of following these desires that have kind of been choking and clogging you and rendering your ability to follow the law, like the law is useless, it doesn't motivate change. Instead of following these old ways and patterns, there's a new wind blowing through and clearing out all the smoke. There is a new way to live. God is making his home amongst us, within us. As a church last year, I don't know if you remember, but we did spend some time thinking about vision, which can be a triggering word, I realized. So we had some conversations in small groups, and we were dreaming and praying about where we thought God might be leading us. What does the future look like for our church? And that's really hard to imagine at the best of times, but particularly when you're going through a hard time, like going through a lockdown, you're kind of just trying to get by one day at a time, right? Like it's really hard to imagine the future. And so in some ways it was difficult to think about the future last year. But one of the interesting things that came out of the small groups was that many of you said, we want to be a people who are open to the Spirit of God. We want to be more open to the Spirit of God. And I guess I found that interesting because I guess the implication I took from it is that maybe many of us are not sure if we're open to the Spirit of God. Like we want to know the Spirit of God more in our lives. And I think in a way that's what the Galatian churches are kind of wrestling with. They want to know the Spirit, and yet they feel this tension in their community. And so Paul expresses this tension like this.
Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses.
So sometimes it can feel like you're still coughing, you're still breathing in smoke, you're still being drawn to desires or attitudes or actions that lead to death. And then this fresh wind blows through and there's new attitudes and actions that lead to life. And Paul says, follow that, follow the Spirit of God. If we want to be a church that's renewed, then we need the Spirit of God to be at work in our lives. I don't know about you, but I feel like this year has been a new season for us as a church. It feels like there's new life in our church. And I guess today celebrating Cass feels part of that new season, right? It feels like a new beginning. It's really exciting when we have new people join our church community. And we have had new people join our church community this year. And that's exciting to see. And it's exciting when you call a pastor. And one of the jobs of a pastor is to come alongside people and care for people and remind a community of the gospel, remind a community of the implications of the gospel, try to help individuals and a church discern where the Spirit of God is leading. And so in many ways, it's really exciting to welcome Cass, and she comes with a lot of experience and gifts that she'll bring to this community. But as Dave said at the beginning, I kind of want to reiterate here that in the end, it's not Cass or me or the elders or anyone in our church community that brings life. Ultimately, it's God who brings life. And so what we want to be calling Cass to, like I want to be calling myself to, like I want to be calling you to, is to be a people who live by the Spirit. That in the end is the most important thing that we can be doing with our lives, is to find out what does it mean to live in step with the Spirit, especially because, you know, sometimes when we look for pastors, we can look for people who are good at their jobs. And that's important, but we want to say, no, your character matters and your relationship with God matters. We want to know that you are someone walking in step with God, and not just as you start, but as you go into this world, keep walking in step with God. That is our prayer for Cass and for ourselves this morning. So that sounds nice. But I don't know about you, sometimes I'm not sure what it actually means to live in step with the Spirit. Like, what does that mean? And when we say we want to be open to the Spirit, what does that mean? When I have to talk about God, sometimes I find myself struggling to talk about God, struggling to find the words to talk about God, because I think there's something mysterious about God. And sometimes I find language like failing me. So not surprisingly, I turn to books to try and help me. And particularly, I turn to poetry to try and help me sometimes find the words to speak about God. And one of the poets I've been reading a lot this year, maybe a well-known poet named Mary Oliver. She died a few years ago. She's an American poet. And she wrote a lot about nature. So she paid attention a lot to the world that she lived in. And often her poems talk about God. And in one of her poems, she actually talks about the need for oxygen. And I want to share a little bit of this poem with you. She says, everything needs it, bone, muscles, and even while it calls the earth its home, the soul. Even she then describes lighting a fire in her house. Even fires, even those ferocious bushfires, need oxygen. All of life needs air. And so it doesn't surprise me that in our Bibles, in both Hebrew and Greek, the word for air, the word for breath, is the same word for spirit, because I think that word begins to capture a little bit of who God is. God is the living Spirit. God is the one who creates and sustains all of life. It is God who renews the face of the earth. We need God. Our bones, our muscles, all that we are need God. So who is God? God is one who loves, starting within God's very self, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reaching out and receiving love. And then God reaches out in love to this creation. God is one who overflows with joy, who brings peace, shalom, justice, and wholeness, who breathes in deeply and exercises great patience. Our God is long-suffering and slow to anger. God pours out kindness, abounds in generosity, is good, faithful, committed to the promises he has made. God is like a gentle breeze brushing past into our lives. God is self-controlled. The characteristics of God are revealed to us in the scriptures. We read our Bible and we discover the character of God, and we discover God's character most clearly when we turn to the person of Jesus. And then we discover the character of God now in our lives as we look around. What does it mean to live by the Spirit? It means to participate and be invited into the life of God. We are being invited into the very life of God. So the Spirit comes and infuses us with God's life and God's character. To return back to Mary Oliver's poem, she speaks about watching someone she loves breathing. And she says this.
You are breathing patiently. It is a beautiful sound. It is your life, which is so close to my own that I would not know where to drop the knife of separation. And what does this have to do with love, except everything?
That intimacy she describes of watching someone you love breathing beside you is the intimacy that we're invited into with God. God is closer to us than our own breath. The Spirit of God is at work. This is the gift that we've been given. And as we enter into and participate in the life of God, then the natural consequence is that we begin to reflect the character of God. The same godly qualities that we see in God can be found in us as individuals and as a community. And so Paul goes on to list the characteristics that should be evident in a church that is filled with the Spirit of God.
Galatians 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
To tackle the problem of air pollution, the World Health Organization has launched a campaign called Breathe Life. And it's the type of thing you normally see in campaigns. So it's raising awareness, there's lots of work in education, innovation, trying to come up with different solutions and then implementing those solutions. And they're starting to see some progress as countries and cities are working together. But change is hard, and real long-lasting change has to go deep. You know, as a church, we've been talking about character this year, and what does it mean to change our characters? What does it mean when you feel like there's a crisis in our character? And the temptation is to run a campaign, educate people. We think if we just educate people and tell them what the right thing to do is, then they'll do it. And we just implement the right solutions, then our characters will change. But Paul recognizes that real long-lasting change has to go deep, and that real long-lasting change, particularly in our characters, only comes about when God is at work. And so Paul brings the idea of character and the Spirit together and says we need God. It's God who can transform our characters. And that's the extraordinary gift that we've been given. Can you smell it in the air, like fruit ripening? Or the smell of the air after like clean rain has washed through, or spring in the air. When we smell these things, we're reminded that there is resurrection. In the middle of death, there is resurrection. God is on the move. And so even though sometimes I can be tempted to focus on all that is wrong in the world or all that's wrong in me, I read this passage in Galatians and I'm reminded that there is reason to hope. God's Spirit is active in this world. And so today we feast. And today we call on the Spirit of God to continue to renew us as individuals and as a church. We call on God to breathe fresh life into our cities right across this world. And sometimes it's obvious, hopefully more than sometimes, like you should be able to see in a church glimpses of God's Spirit by the way that we interact with one another. Like hopefully the church is a community where there is love and joy and peace and patience and faithfulness and gentleness and kindness and self-control. These things should be present. And when they are, when we see life, we're reminded this is a living community. The Spirit of God is present amongst us. And so at the moment, actually, even though we're in lockdown, I do find it easy to see signs of the Spirit at work in us. When I see home groups meeting on Zoom and laughing with one another and that friendship that exists there, I see the Spirit of God. When people come and drop off things that they've baked for one meal, so helping people who are really struggling in our wider suburbs at the moment, I see God's Spirit at work. Today, we've had people serving us, you know, by singing a song and gathering beforehand to prepare that and taking deliveries out to people. I see God's Spirit at work. Sometimes it'll be really obvious and we'll be able to name, yes, this is evidence of God. And maybe some days it will be less obvious. And in those days, we make the choice to trust in God. We take a deep breath and continue to work out what does it mean to walk in step with God's Spirit.
Galatians 5 verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
This is the good news. Our sinful nature is dead. Like Jesus has done the work, it is completed. Our sinful nature is crucified, and we can now pick up this new way of life. We can be people who are filled with the Spirit and who are guided by the Spirit into a way of life that brings more life. And so I guess to finish our time together, I actually wanted to invite you into a breath prayer this morning. So I want to kind of pray for us as a community. We've prayed for Cass, but I think it's important to pray for us as a whole community, that we would be a people that's shaped by the Spirit. So I'm going to lead you through a breath prayer. So we have done it before. I'll try and match it up with our breath. So I'll say one line and you can inhale. And then as I say the second line, we can exhale. So let's spend some time praying to God now. Spirit of God, we abide in you. Holy Spirit, help us receive your love. Spirit of God, help us to love. Holy Spirit, overflow your joy in us. Spirit of God, bring peace and justice to this world. Holy Spirit, give us your patience. Spirit of God, pour your kindness into us. Holy Spirit, you are good. Spirit of God, infuse us with your faithfulness. Holy Spirit, come like a gentle breeze. Spirit of God, Teach us to walk in step with you, to be self-controlled. Holy Spirit, renew us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, feel free to stick around and chat to Cass if you'd like, or chat to one another if you haven't. I haven't eaten any of my feast yet, but otherwise, God bless you all this week as we go out.